Come children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is filled with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Village Celebration Radio Show. I am Vicki Newton, and of course, I'm glad that you are with us tonight. Thank you so much in the Village. All right, let's get right to the thing everybody is talking about. Oh, did I say thing? I meant the person. That might be Donald Trump. So let's bring in our political consultant, Mondale Robinson. Mondale, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. Donald Trump keeps rising in the polls. He's now insulted virtually every ethnic group in America. What's happening?
Tragedy is what's happening. And I think it seems as if Americans forget that we are a global world now. I mean, we're all connected, and everybody outside of this country is looking at us, and they are shaking their head in a serious way. And it is absolutely disgusting that, you know, Donald Trump for 5 months have been the head, and now he's gaining, of one of the only major parties we have in this country. And we're talking about this person as the next leader of the free world. And it's extremely scary. Not the chances of him winning, the chances that people may look at our political process as if it's a joke, and it may scar not just the Republican Party, but, you know, the process in general.
It somehow bleeds onto the rest of us, this notion that because a particular segment of our country supports him, that maybe the rest of us may not be so bright either?
Absolutely. I mean, what happens is people catch, I mean, we live in a right now very quick soundbite world. So people hear Donald Trump 36%, they don't take the time to dig and see which 36% or how they came to that 36%. They don't realize that it's not 36% of the American population. It's not even 36% of the Republican Party. It's 36% of the likely primary voters. And unfortunately for us, in the way we elect presidents or candidates that run for president, is that, you know, primary voters, we know that on both sides of the aisle are more extreme than the regular, or, you know, the population at large. So you have 36% of the most extreme Republicans saying they support Donald Trump.
And you were able...
And what it looks like is... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You're able to distill this information because this is your line of work. But for the rest of us, I think when we hear 36% as well, we think 36% of the Republican Party. And we say, oh my gosh, are you serious? But it's actually a smaller group, just a very vocal and very loyal group.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, like, again, I would tell people and I would caution people to remember that this is 36% of the likely primary voters. This is not even the entire party. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. I will tell you what is telling is if you look at the numbers of people against him, if you see who's against, like the number, what it takes to win the president of the United States is a coalition. Donald Trump is no way impossible. It's really impossible for Donald Trump to get that coalition. If you look at what happened,
you promise us. You promise.
I promise you. Absolutely, I promise you. Well, what we learned with the president, with the past two elections, is that what we learned with the last two presidential election is that you can't win president of the United States without a certain percentage of the Hispanic and Black vote. Donald Trump is so far behind in those two populations or those two citizenry that it is impossible for him to win. I mean, like, who supports Donald Trump is, you know, mostly white males without degrees or diplomas. So what we're seeing is, you know, he's playing to the fears of you know, a very marginalized folk. And I'm not talking about not ethnic marginalized, but, you know, people that are poor white people that already feel this way anyway, that they feel like these are the same people that feel like affirmative action has caused black people to make major gains on white
at the expense of white Americans.
Right, at the expense of white Americans. So these, but what the blowback to that is, one, is not reality. Two, the world is paying attention, like I said earlier. If you see what happened, like the international blowback to Donald Trump, and now some journalists as well. We saw this with BuzzFeed and some of the other major journalist organizations saying, like, this is what our candle, when our journalists or our reporters or our people in the field say he's a racist, they're not, they're not being partisan. They're being factual, right? They're being factual. So that's what's happening here. But even you see in there's a petition because in Britain it is illegal to make hate speech based on someone's ethnicity. So there's a petition right now to ban Donald Trump from the UK in a serious way. I mean, it has over 400,000 signatures, and that was the last time I checked. And I think that was earlier this morning.
And that's then a direct response to his proposal that Muslims are banned from entering America. So this is in direct response.
Well, actually what happened was initially that petition went up 2 weeks ago, but it wasn't getting any traction until his recent speech. So I mean, like, it was already because of what he said about Hispanics and black folk, but now he had Muslims, and you know, but this is like, and even in France, you hear Nicolas Sarkozy, everybody speaking out against this. And it's not just the new minister in Scotland, where he has his, you know, $300 million golf course. They just said no more. No, Donald Trump, we don't have a business. He's not a business ambassador for Scotland anymore. So the international blowback is what I feel like the United States, what America's blowback should be toward Donald Trump. However, we have certain agencies that give space to Donald Trump and legitimize his silliness. But if we replace, you know, every time he said Muslim and put Jew, we wouldn't be calling him Donald Trump. He'd be more like Hitler. And
you know what? That's a very good point.
He's doing the same thing. If you look at his,
that's a very good point.
It's kind of scary in a serious way because I mean, we're talking about banning a segment of people on their ethnic or their religious beliefs, but in actuality, that's how this country was formed.
And that is how Hitler came to power.
It's very scary when we play to that. It is very similar to how Hitler came to power.
Let's take a break, and when we come back,
he had this. Okay.
Hold on to that thought. When we come back, we'd like for you to finish that. But we also want to talk about the Democrats and their response to Donald Trump, because I noticed that Hillary Clinton is becoming more vocal about some of the things he's saying, as are some of his presidential counterparts or candidates. The other candidates in the Republican Party, I'm trying to say. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
Glenn?
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Because I don't know who I'm talking to, I'll just be candid and clear. If you've fallen into the criminal justice system and it appears that your past criminal record is dragging you down, it is possible to get it all cleared. For the first time, you now have a real way to learn how to clear your adult and juvenile criminal records yourself. Many people believe that once you've made a criminal mistake and get into the criminal system, that you're ruined for life, that your criminal past will drag you down forever. That's just not true anymore. The criminal history that you made in the past can be cleared if you know how. You can learn how to do it yourself. Find out if you qualify. This information will show you how. Get your copy of Cleared today at CLEARED.com. That's Cleared. CLEARED.com. CLEARED.com. And start enjoying the rest of your life.
It's Thursday night, means you're listening to the Village Celebration Radio Show, and we are talking politics. Donald Trump, the topic so far, but now let's shift gears. You were going to say one other thing, I think, about Donald Trump, Mundell, and what is that?
Well, just, you know, we must recognize, we must recognize the climate we're in and how dangerous this speech is and what can be used as propaganda against this country and also the citizens of this country. And Donald Trump is playing right into the hand of extremely dangerous folk in the name of Daesh, or like we call them, ISIS. I refuse to call them ISIS anymore because it automatically connects them to Islam. And we know that these folk are no more acting out tenets of Islam as Dylann Roof was of Christianity mm-hmm. or the KKK. So so Daesh. And when they can use stuff like this is a president of or a particular or a possible presidential candidate for the United States of America saying we shouldn't be there. And, you know, you have Muslims that are fighting in our military, serving in every aspect of life. And you have a serious contender, 5 months he's been leading, one of the major parties for president, talking about banning all Muslims. That is extremely scary.
It's disturbing. It is, at the very least. What do you think of Hillary Clinton's response to Donald Trump?
You know, I, for me, nothing happens in a vacuum. I believe people are who they say they are. So I believe she's genuine in her response to Donald Trump and the fierceness at which they're coming out. But I also know that she's running for president of the United States. So some of this has to be theater for her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of that response is staged and it has to be. But again, I think she means, what she said about our Muslim brothers and sisters. I think what's dangerous though is when we not just Hillary Clinton. I heard the president do this earlier this week as well. When we caution our Muslim brothers and sisters, like it's their responsibility, only their responsibility, to check what's going on with these extremists. When in actuality, you know, you can kill as many black folk as you want, or you can say anything you want to. I.e. Franklin Graham this week. He said what Donald Trump said first, and no one calls him a Christian extremist, or no Christian is responsible for responding to that, mm-hmm. except for Franklin Graham. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to be cautious of that. I mean, this space where this extreme talk is allowed. We saw it with the lieutenant colonel who said something extremely vocal about the president.
Let's talk about that just in case. Some of our listeners have missed that. So a few days ago on Fox News, a retired lieutenant colonel was being interviewed, and he referred to President Obama as a five-letter word starting with a P, and he actually said the word. Mundell, you saw the incident.
He said the word, and as vulgar as the word was, and I couldn't believe
it. And it is vulgar.
Surely. And it's extremely vulgar. And initially, I thought, surely this is an Onion interview. Someone is playing games. But it wasn't. It was Fox Business News. You're absolutely right. And then what happened was the anchor allowed him to continue in this rant. And it was just more and more horrible, like saying that the president doesn't care about, the president cares more about ISIS than he does the police departments. The president done more harm to police departments than he has to ISIS. The president cares more about the thugs in Gitmo and the thugs in Ferguson and then, you know, good American citizens. And, you know, it seemed so much like I was listening to propaganda on Fox News right there. It seemed like this gentleman is playing into a certain population, and that population watches Fox. And that same population, ironically, is the reason that Donald Trump can say what he wants to and feel protected in that bubble that he's in. These people, it is extremely dangerous, I think, and I keep saying dangerous, not in a small way, because I know, you know, when you check the search engine histories of Dylann Roof, who shot his church up in South Carolina, or you see the gentlemen who were burning the churches in St. Louis, you see these people all listening to the same nonsense on Fox and Rush Limbaugh, and it's like, how come every Muslim is responsible? We know that there's over a billion Muslims in this world. How come every Muslim is responsible for one extremist or two extremists in their faith, but no Christians are responsible for the white Christians that are acting out extremist natures in this country?
But I think it's also true to form in that minority groups are often labeled collectively. That happens with African Americans. One black person commits a crime and it casts doubt on all of us, generally speaking. And that's been the pushback,
right, which is
with profiling.
Yeah. Right.
So the same thing is
profiling
happening.
And mm-hmm. You know, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and so that is the battle of virtually every minority group, whether it's based on your ethnicity or your religion. It's just that collective guilt that all of us recognize and most of us have experienced.
Yeah, and the tragedy of it is that, you know, most of this, a lot of stuff we've talked about so far that happened this week actually happened on the anniversary of the 13th Amendment, which, you know, when you think about politics and how everything is planned and nothing is as you see it, everything is, it makes you wonder, like, what is Donald Trump's message to the world that on the day of the signing of the 13th Amendment, the anniversary of, he released such a horrible statement with so much, I mean, like, and the way he's backing it up and not backing down from this.
That's what I find interesting, is no matter how reprehensible his statements or inaccurate, he never apologizes, nor does he correct his misinformation. That, to me, is particularly alarming. But, of course, we have a few more months, actually a number of months, to talk about Donald Trump. Mondale Robinson, The Village political contributor, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me. You have a wonderful evening.
You too. We'll be right back with our Village Verse. So don't go away.
Have a minute? How about 30? Just 30 minutes a day of exercise could save your life. And it just might change your family's life too. Just 30 minutes a day of the electric slide, the funky chicken, the mashed potato or Zumba can boost your brain power and improve circulation. Just 30 minutes a day of hula hooping, playing tag, riding bikes, or nature walks can reduce stress and help improve your relationships too. Just 30 minutes a day of basketball, jogging, playing double dutch, or jump rope can decrease your risk for all kinds of diseases, including stroke, diabetes, or heart disease. Doctors call it 30 minutes a day of exercise. Kids call it 30 minutes of playing. We call it 30 minutes of fun and making memories. Whatever you call it, let's move and make it a family affair. Choose a few fun activities to get your entire family moving. So drop the phone and give me 30. Drop the remote and give me 30. As Mama used to say, go outside and play. Brought to you by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission.
Fast food is great while it lasts, but its kind of litter can hang around forever. Personally, I'd rather see something natural, and all I have to do is use a trash can to keep Arkansas beautiful.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association.
And Keep Arkansas Beautiful.
Are you an aspiring writer? Do you have the next big breakout novel bubbling in your brain but can't quite understand how to put pen to paper? Hi, I'm Kendra Norman, and you're invited to join the Royal Pen Network for some praise and prose every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on joynetradio.com. Avoid pitfalls and get published Wednesdays with me, Kendra Norman, on joynetradio.com.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. We are now turning to our Village Verse, and our guest minister this evening is Reverend Arthur Hunt. Reverend Hunt, thank you for being with us tonight. We always like hearing from you and having our spirits encouraged. So what's the word tonight?
Well, it's always a joy to be here. And as I listen to your program, the voice of your subject matter experts, we are living in a world that sometimes forget the true purpose of why we are here. God created us in His image and His likeness from one blood. And from one blood He made all nations. And from the Genesis through the Revelations, you will see moments that are corollary. We were given an assignment by you to deal with the wise men. And the wise men certainly are most appropriate today. Just want to share the scripture that is very common when we talk about the wise men. There are songs. Mm-hmm. There are people who say the three kings, mm-hmm. The three mm-hmm. wise men. Mm-hmm. But the biblical truth is in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, and I'll read a couple of verses. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And so I'll just read a couple of verses that kind of give you a depiction of their search and the intruder that wanted to abort their purpose. Mm-hmm. And so they asked the question, where is he that is born king of the Jews? So if you talk about a king in another kingdom, oftentimes there's a threat because no one should have dominion except for one. Mm-hmm. And so this is the intro of how they got into a conversation with the king Herod. And when he heard about their search for what we know today as the King of Kings, mm-hmm. and the Lord of Lords, he said, not happening, not here, not now. And so he got into what he thought their mind, forgetting that they were wise. Now, everybody's wise. Everybody is wise today. I just want everybody to know that. But some are engaged or endowed with the wisdom of God. So there's a wisdom of God, wise men, and then there are men who are otherwise, but they still are wise. So the wise men really come from a type and shadow of a day. One particular account is the Babylonian customs that the king Nebuchadnezzar wanted to infuse the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to take his culture and take these four boys who came into their full expression, and they were acknowledged as wise men. Mm-hmm. And so today God is saying we need wise men, not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. So this king heard about these wise men searching for Jesus and where he would be born, and he inquired, where is this going to be? And he couldn't believe that such a small town, Bethlehem, was chosen. But the fast forward was when he found that they were God ordained and led, he wanted to kill them. Mm-hmm. Today's world, as in Daniel's day, there are leaders who will pretend that they want us. They will even hire us They want us to compromise. And this is a day and a time when we need to stand up and say, for God I live and for God I'll die. These wise men teach us, number one, we came to worship. Mm-hmm. We came to worship. That's what they came for, to worship. And then we came to honor the King of Kings. And anybody who wants to get into that way, they are going to ultimately be destroyed. And so the king thought he had the wisdom. He says, all right, since y'all know where he's going to be born, when you see him, come back and tell me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so God revealed to them in a dream. And so dreams and visions, as he gets his prophets and his spiritual leaders informed, what to do and what not to do. And so they got the dream and the interpretation, and they were directed to go home another way. And I think that's what God is saying today. Always know that there is a way, but God has a better way, a more excellent way. And so today, as we look and search for this holiday season, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about a Democrat or a Republican. It's not about all the things that people make us feel that is most important during this time, but it's all about Jesus, mm-hmm. worshiping him, loving on him, and honoring him. So we take away a couple of things from the scripture. One, God has wise leaders always in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be one?
Amen.
Will we be those wise leaders? And will we listen to God, whether he's speaking to us from our counterparts or in dreams and visions, to make sure that we all go where God says goes, and that is the right way. Jesus Christ is the only way.
It's the wisdom part,
yes,
that can pose such a challenge, knowing when to exercise what conduct, what decision. And the Bible says, get wisdom, and while you're getting wisdom, get understanding too. But how do you know sometimes the wisest thing to do?
Well, when you follow the blueprint of divinity, the choices are no longer ours. See, they were following a blueprint or a prophecy that was given in the Old Testament. So when the king says, when he went to his scribes and his scholars of his day, mm-hmm. of his rank, they could only go to the word. And the word is the only true and perpetual source of wisdom. And so when they went to the word, and they said, well, this is where he's going.
Mm-hmm.
So the king had a closer look at where they were going. So wisdom comes from God. James chapter 1, any person who lacks wisdom,
mm-hmm.
let them ask of God,
mm-hmm.
who gives to all. Now here's a humor moment,
mm-hmm.
but it's a truth moment. Solomon was the wisest man of his day.
Right.
And you know, when they were wanting to get wisdom, God told Solomon to tell them to go to where I call Ant University. Now, Ant University, he says, go to Yale, Harvard, University of Arkansas. No, go to the Ant.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Ant and study the Ant,
mm-hmm.
and consider, pay attention to her ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so wisdom comes from God. Throughout the biblical records, there are many different moments where the Word of God is teaching us what to do, how to do, and the Holy Spirit will most often tell us when to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the Word is a lamp unto our feet, into our pathway.
You mentioned the Holy Spirit and the decision of the three wise men to go a different way that God spoke to them. And often, you know, it's not always a burning bush. Rarely is it a burning bush. As far mm-hmm. as I know, it's only been Moses with the burning bush. But, you know, God, through the Holy Spirit, often directs us and guides us.
Well, Numbers chapter 12 is another account where Jesus, in a type and shadow, Moses was talking to God, and God says to Moses, when I speak to my prophets, I speak to them in dreams and visions.
Mm-hmm.
And so 90% of the time, the word is going to be our template. You
okay.
can find the answer in the word. But then God, sometimes we're busy. Through the course of a day, we may not take time to read and pray. So God will visit in dreams and visions.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel was an interpreter of dreams and visions. And so these wise men, the question, if it was three or more, we can go into some scholarly observations. But they were wise because they were following the blueprint. Mm-hmm. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Watch this moment in the exit. You got here today, and you know the route. If all the lights went out, mm-hmm. and there was no light at all, candlelight, other light, no light, mm-hmm. could you get back to your car from where you are?
Yes.
With no light. From where you are right now, to leave this mic side at Joynet Radio and get to your car with no light, could you make it to your car? I would wager 99% you could not, even though you know the way. And then to your car, to your home, you know the way. But if it's total black, total darkness, you couldn't make it. No street light, no car light. So the word of God is a lamp. There's a step that's already been ordered. Our steps, that's the pathway. But you have to have the word of God, which is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your pathway, so you can see the steps that God has ordered, illuminating, and go from your start to your finish. So the word of God is the source of knowledge. The Holy Spirit guides us. That's the wisdom to get where God wants us to go. And these wise men were practitioners, and they were fulfillment of what the promise of God would bring forth.
And let's keep them in mind this holiday season and throughout the year, their purpose. And I guess just the purpose of using and exercising wisdom, the need to exercise and use wisdom.
Absolutely. And if we ever needed it, and which we always have, we need wisdom now.
Reverend Arthur Hunt, it's always a pleasure. I always learn when you're with us. Thank you so much. The Village Celebration continues coming up. Do you have the sniffles? Have you gotten a flu shot? Dr. Diane Marshall talks about the flu when we return.
Studies have shown that diabetes can be prevented, and the results are even greater with my patients over age 60. Losing a small amount of weight by getting some physical activity, 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier has proven to be effective. Listen to the great results from one of my patients.
I had to learn how to change my way of eating because diabetes ran in my family, and I wanted to take control of it before I got it.
Having diabetes in your family and being overweight puts you at a higher risk for type 2 diabetes. These risks increase with age, which is why it is important to take your first step today.
There was a time I could not go from my basement up to my bedroom, but now I can, and that means a lot to me.
It's not too late to prevent diabetes. Join my patients who are taking small steps and gaining big rewards.
For more information on how to prevent type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
It's the G-Now Show, Christian Republic brand. It's the 11th hour, and we hear the cry of our generation. Let's come together, real topics, real people, real conversations, hard-to-hard issues, and speak truth to power and break chains off of this generation.
It's your boy, Young Chris. We got Trey in here, man. We got Terry. We got Dre. We got everybody here. We in the house, man. We're going to talk about everything, whatever you want to talk about.
The LGBT topic, we ain't going to run from it. Islamic Nation topic, we ain't going to run from it. Church. Churches, preachers, pastors, and members in the congregation, the young thugs on the streets, the clubs, whatever, it don't matter. We're going into every environment.
All while we count down the top 5 greatest hits. Join us on Joynet Radio every Monday at 6 o'clock.
We ain't talking about the next generation. We ain't talking about the generation to come, even after that generation. But this is the generation now, right now, we're talking about now faith. G now fixing, now solutions to addressing now problems. That's what we're about. The G Now Show. JoynetRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. It's a Thursday night, and Dr. Diane Marshall is here to make a house call to the Village. Dr. Di, how are you?
Hi there, Vicki. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So the flu, 'tis the season, right?
Yes, ma'am. And actually, this week is National Influenza Vaccination Week. So we are going to be pushing. Get the flu shot because it is just now getting into peak flu season.
Oh, my gosh. That just sounds so nasty. You know, I've had some sort of bug for about a week, and it started right in the center of my face, so I think it's a sinus infection, and I'll spare you the gory details, but this influenza is a horse of another color.
It absolutely is, Vicki. And so, you know, the one thing that we get all the time is patients who come in and think, I don't want the flu shot because I'm going to get the flu. Mm-hmm. Either they've had an adverse reaction to the shot before, or they have had the flu and thought maybe the vaccination gave it to them. So I want to debunk some of those myths. So first of all, if you have not had your flu vaccine, you should check with your primary care doctor to find out what flu shot or what flu vaccination is appropriate for you. Certainly patients with different types of medical problems, such as diabetes or heart disease, actually need that protection. What you don't want are these people to end up in the ICU because they've gotten the flu that has caused the pneumonia, et cetera, and worsening respiratory problems. So talk to your provider, find out what vaccine is appropriate for you, and get it. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's starting, and actually it probably peaks a little bit more in January and February because a lot of times people think that, oh, it's past November. I don't need the flu shot.
Right.
Well, that's not correct.
You may need it now more than ever because we're entering such a busy social season with Christmas and the rest of the holidays.
That's true. You're going to be around more people, so you're going to broaden your exposure. You certainly do need it. And then, you know, we need to talk a little bit about how to prevent it. Other than the flu vaccine, one of the things that we can do, and we've talked about this before, Vicki, is appropriate infection control. So that would be sneeze into your arm, make sure you always wash your hands, cover your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Those things will help prevent spread of infection.
Sneeze into your arm. So if you feel a really big sneeze coming on, don't just let it out in the open.
Right. And when I say into your arm, I mean like into your sleeve. And that way it's not in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the sleeve that's preventing the spread or preventing you from putting those aerosol droplets out in the air so that other people might be exposed to them. So you'll sneeze in your sleeve. Certainly if you sneeze in your hand, you want to use appropriate hand sanitizer or get up and go wash them. But the most important thing is check with your doctor. See if you need to get the flu vaccine. We do recommend it for everyone 6 months of age and older, and especially for people who have chronic medical conditions.
Okay. Now, when we talk about washing our hands, we want to make sure that we're not just doing a cursory wash where we run them under the water. It's a little more involved.
Correct. It is a little bit more involved. And, you know, what we typically say in the clinic is, first of all, make sure your water is warm. And you want to just sing the happy birthday song. I think we say twice. And
twice?
Then that way you know that
I didn't know. It's twice.
I sing it twice. I sing it twice to make sure it's okay. But you sing the happy birthday song. It depends on how quickly you sing it. So that's why I say sing it twice. Then you know you've got it covered. But you want to make sure you're washing in between the creases and under the nails. And on
under
the back
the
of the
nails.
Hands. Sometimes
okay.
People go in. And have you ever been in public places or public restrooms, a restaurant, and you just see people just swing their hands under the water, or sometimes, unfortunately, just walk out.
Yes,
without
I've
even
seen
washing
that.
Their hands.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
You know, you've also seen people who get to the bathroom door and they have washed their hands and they don't want to touch it. So they're using their elbow, their purse, everything to open the door without using their hands.
And that really is the most appropriate thing to
exactly,
do.
You
I mean,
know.
Once you wash your hands, yeah, once you wash them, you should even, you can use your paper towel to turn off the faucet, throw it away, then get a fresh paper towel using your elbows if you can to dispense the paper towel, and then open the door. But we want to do whatever we can to prevent the flu. The flu can be ugly. And let me just say this, and I know you're short on time. is that if you get the flu after you've had the vaccination, it is not the vaccination that's causing it.
Okay.
More than likely, you've either already been exposed or you've been exposed afterwards, because it takes about 2 weeks before the vaccination becomes effective.
About 2 weeks. So there's that window where you are not covered, so to speak. Let me ask you this, Dr. Dye. If you do get the flu, as you were just saying, what do you recommend before going to the doctor? What over-the-counter medications? What diet? How much rest?
Well, the biggest thing is to treat your symptoms. You know, most people who have the flu are going to probably have fever. They're going to have muscle aches. They're going to feel tired. They're going to feel sore. So if you start to develop symptoms, you can certainly take over-the-counter products such as Tylenol, ibuprofen, to relieve fever and muscle aches. I want to say avoid aspirin until you can speak to your doctor.
Okay.
You certainly want to avoid aspirin for fever in children because it can cause other problems. And then you might want to go ahead and tank up on some vitamin C and zinc, and that is just to help boost your immunity.
Okay. Okay. All good tips, Dr. Okay. Diane Marshall. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going to say, and get some, as the old adage would say, mother's soup and orange juice.
What about Vicks Vapor Rub? Now, you know, that was really the thing back in the day. That's some old school under your nose, on your chest. Does it work?
Well, I actually like Vicks Vapor Rub. It probably has no significant medicinal value, but it does cause, it soothes. It soothes, it relieves, and it may give you some relief from the congestion.
And it lets
certainly
everybody know 50 feet around you that you're sick. Dr. Diane Marshall,
absolutely.
We appreciate you joining us. Coming up, we're going to tell you about a big event in January, and it may make you get on the bus or drive to Arkansas, and it all has to do with MLK Day, so stay with us.
JC Loves and the Morning Crew.
Music, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, that just leads me into my music tip for this morning.
It is, ladies and gentlemen.
In spite of what people coach you into, make sure you're not being forced into a place that you don't fit.
My. That's fine.
Because you only have the grace for where you fit.
My God. You only got the grace for where you fit.
For where you fit. If it's not your assignment, it doesn't matter if you know how to fry your chicken.
Yeah.
You may know how to fry the best chicken and cook the best greens. But if this season is not your fit for frying chicken and cooking greens, you're not going to be prosperous or productive in doing it, no matter how good you are at it. So my tip to you is make sure that you're not being forced in a place or in a season that don't fit.
You said it, brother.
Charging your morning. Now, go take on the day.
Here's a quick tip from Hansel's Cookin' Vegan. Rev up your metabolism by increasing protein and fiber intake. Increase your daily activity by walking, running, or dancing. Read labels. Look for items with high fiber, low sodium, carbs, and sugars. Limit fast foods. Self-prepared meals help to limit fat and sodium intake. Combine these tips to avoid excessive weight gain. Get more healthy tips at Hansel'sCookinVegan.com. Change your diet to change your life.
LeBron James is the greatest player we've seen this generation. You have to be careful when you start saying, and so, well, he wasn't as good as Michael, or he wasn't as good as Magic. Every generation, you get that. You begin to sound like that old man that lives down the street, and every time you walk on his yard or you even walk by his yard, he's on the porch and he's got that little crooked finger. He's like, get off my lawn! Get off my lawn!
Join me Saturday mornings at 8 for the weekly sports magazine on JoinettRadio.com.
Get off my lawn!
We're so glad you joined us tonight for the Village Celebration Radio Show. Our guest, Burnell Smith, who is the president and publisher of the Tri-State Defender in Memphis, had planned to join us to talk about Darius Stewart, the teenager who was unarmed last summer and shot and killed by a police officer, and the move to release the records in an effort to offer some transparency in that case. The officer was not indicted. Mr. Smith was going to join us to talk about the reaction in Memphis and a number of other shootings that have claimed our attention particularly and the nation's in general. But we have had some technical difficulties, some telephone challenges, and he is unable to join us, and we do apologize. We hope he can join us at a later date. Bernice King is receiving an award tonight, or rather tomorrow, at the University of Arkansas in Pine Bluff. She's delivering the commencement address and will receive an honorary doctorate. So she is visiting Arkansas tonight and tomorrow, but already there is a movement afoot to honor her late father, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, in a very special way here in the state of Arkansas. And Reverend Hunt, who brought us the Village Verse earlier, is here now to talk about this effort called Give Us This Day that will be observed on MLK's Day 2016. So, Dr. Hunt, Reverend Hunt, thank you for staying with us. And let me just make this point in case you don't live in Arkansas and you're unaware that in our state, MLK Day is celebrated with Robert E. Lee Day.
This is a tragedy. Arkansas is last again. There are three states that celebrate the Confederacy of Robert E. Lee on the same day, designated as a federal holiday.
Federal holiday.
Honoring Reverend Dr. King since 1986. Mm-hmm. Arkansas, Alabama, and Mississippi still have this duality. Mm. We've met with the governor. We've got a letter of support. He came and spoke to the audience at the 9/11 prayer breakfast presented by the NAACP and our college, the College of Aspiring Artists. So the governor is on record advocating that this day will become exclusive in Arkansas. There are channels of legislation, but while we wait, we're proclaiming and we're declaring, give us this day, MLK 2016.
And so the governor, Asa Hutchinson, who is a Republican, is on board. But as we know, in so many cities and states in our country, conversations about exalting civil rights leaders, the icons, the pioneers, are often fraught with political tension.
Yeah, that's a bunch of ignorance. See, this is 47 years beyond the final prophecy and the assassination of Reverend Dr. King. There's a monument that was dedicated October 16th, 2011, on the National Mall. It is abundantly clear that this leader deserves an exclusive holiday. For Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi to be last in signing on is damnable. It's beyond a Republican or a Democratic governor or a people of such parties. This is about giving honor to whom honor is due. Reverend Dr. King, on his final night in Memphis, giving his mountaintop message, he said the greatness of America is the right to protest for right. I say that's powerful, but just because you have a right don't mean that your right is right. We can no longer accept this duality. And so it is an honor that the governor, but more important than the governor, God has spoken. This day belongs to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And we say to America, Arkansas is coming online. Give us this day.
It is an outrage that of all people, the King holiday in Arkansas is also commemorated as Robert E. Lee Day.
Well, what we saw June 17th, you know, you were just talking about Memphis. I know Mr. Burnell Smith. We worked together, J.C. and I, in 2014. We went.
And J.C. is the owner of Joynet Radio.
Yeah, so. Reverend Thornton. We were in Memphis live streaming from this network. Our networks combined, and Burnell Smith spoke following the address of the Honorable W.W. Harrington. Dr. Harrington was there that night when Reverend Dr. King gave his final speech prophecy. What we've got to do is to move people to a sense of urgency. This is a moment we're calling young people to be in a lineup. Show up at the state capitol, and we have a proclamation bracelet. Give us this day that we want people all across the nation to wear in advocacy that these nine lives. I'm going to go back quickly to June 17th when we had the massacre in Carolina. When those nine lives were removed from the church and God allowed those sacrifices, we cannot, as spiritual leaders, especially we the preachers, let this next holiday come with the cancer of Confederacy that is still alive in our state. We've got to eradicate, and we've got to distinguish and give honor to whom honor is due.
So the date, mark it on your calendars, is January 18th, 2016. January 18th, 2016 in Little Rock, Arkansas, at the state capitol. You all are calling for 1,000 participants.
A minimum of 1,000.
A minimum of 1,000.
Give us this day, MLK.com is the site. Give us this day, MLK.com. You go to that site starting tomorrow, and you'll see how you can be a part of the advocacy, whether you can show up live or if you get the program, the celebration, through a live stream through JoyNet. All of this is going to be made available so that many people can join Arkansas, hopefully triggering Mississippi, Alabama, and the nation to line up in a solidarity, giving honor to the prophet, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
Again, the date is January 18th, 2016. The website is giveusthisdaymlk.com as we try to unlink Robert E. Lee Day from the federal holiday assigned to the great work and the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King.
And we're not hating on those who want to have a Robert E. Lee Day. We're just saying not on this day.
Not on this day. Give us this day.
Yes.
We certainly appreciate you joining us, Reverend Arthur Hunt. As we wrap up tonight's The Village Celebration, we are a month or so away from the official holiday for Dr. King. But as we know, he lives and is alive and well in so many hearts, and he is a pillar in African-American history, American history, world history, for his nonviolent approach to racism. He received not just American prizes, but the Nobel Peace Prize. And so tonight, as we close out our show, we leave you with an excerpt from his mountaintop speech, which was his final speech. And we thank you for joining us. We'll look for you in Little Rock, Arkansas, January 18th, 2016. If you can't join us, go to the website, giveusthisdaymlk.com.
The Negro must boldly throw off the manacles of self-abnegation and say to himself and to the world, I am somebody. I am a person. I am a man with dignity and honor. I have a rich and noble history. However painful and exploited that history has been. Yes, I was a slave through my foreparents. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of the people who were so sinful to make me a slave. Yes. Yes, we must stand up and say, I'm black. I'm black and beautiful. This self-affirmation is the black man's need made compelling by the white man's crimes against him. Now, another basic challenge is to discover how to organize our strength into economic and political power. No one can deny that the Negro is in dire need of this kind of legitimate power. Indeed, one of the great problems that the Negro confronts is his lack of power. From the old plantations of the South to the newer ghettos of the North, the Negro has been confined to a life of voicelessness and powerlessness. stripped of the right to make decisions concerning his life and destiny, he has been subject to the authoritarian and sometimes whimsical decisions of the white power structure. The plantation and the ghetto were created by those who had power both to confine those who had no power and to perpetuate their powerlessness. Now, the problem of transforming the ghetto, therefore, is a problem of power. A confrontation between the forces of power demanding change and the forces of power dedicated to the preserving of the status quo. Now, power properly understood is nothing but the ability to achieve purpose. It is the strength required to bring about social, political, and economic change. Walter Ruther defined power one day. He said, power is the ability of a labor union like UAW to make the most powerful corporation in the world, General Motors, say yes when it wants to say no. That's power. Now, a lot of us are preachers, and all of us have our moral convictions and concerns, and so often we have problems with power. There is nothing wrong with power. If power is used correctly. You see, what happened is that some of our philosophers got off base. And one of the great problems of history is that the concepts of love and power have usually been contrasted as opposites, polar opposites. So that love is identified with a resignation of power and power with a denial of love. It was this misinterpretation that caused the philosopher Nietzsche, who is the philosopher of the will to power, to reject the Christian concept of love. It was the same misinterpretation which induced Christian theologians to reject Nietzsche's philosophy of the will to power in the name of the Christian idea of love. Now, we got to get this thing right. What is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive, and that love without power is sentimental and anemic.
You got it. The Joy Network.